You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 2nd of January 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I wanted to talk about the sexual assaults that took place in 2025, New Year's Eve 2025. So it's exactly 10 years ago that these attacks took place. And the authorities are still trying to downplay this. We still see the left chanting refugees are welcome here and claiming that it's just a stereotype to say that men from certain groups are more likely to sexually assault women. Yet we have had this happening in Europe for decades now, and it really all seemed to come to a head 10 years ago. So it's quite amazing that this sort of thing is still going on and increasing. If you listened to the Patriotic Weekly Review New Year's Eve special the other night, it was mentioned quite a lot by the guests that the most disturbing thing about 2025 was the frequency of rapes and sexual attacks upon white people by men of migrant background. So it does appear to be increasing, and yet it should have all been stopped 10 years ago when this happened. And I'm taking this article from Breitbart, and the headline is 10 years on, German elite still plays down 2015 Cologne New Year's Eve migrant sex attacks. Over 1,000 women were sexually assaulted and raped across Germany's major cities exactly 10 years ago today. Imagine that, just in one night, 1,000 women sexually assaulted and raped by foreigners. 1,000 German women in their own homeland, thanks to Angela Merkel's immigration policy. In an enormous and apparently coordinated act of violence by recently arrived migrant men, the nature and causes of which are still the subject of attempted obfuscation to this day. So it wasn't people that had been in the country for a long time. It was newly arrived migrants. And I know there's been a push since then to try and educate these newly arrived migrants that when they see white women on the streets that they shouldn't go sexually harassing them. But the sort of propaganda that we see shows white men sexually harassing black women. That's what we see in the posters. The North African origins of the perpetrators of the infamous mass rapes and sexual assaults seen in German cities on New Year's Eve 2015-16 were not a criminogenic factor, a German academic has asserted, but rather were a function of radical masculinity. And that's absolutely shocking. Masculinity protects women. It protects femininity, and it doesn't like feminism, but it protects femininity. Masculinity isn't about sexually assaulting women. This is highly insulting to men that this German academic would say that. The fact of the matter is that the men that carried this out come from cultures where their women are covered from head to foot. So when they come to Europe and they see a woman that's not in a burqa, to them it's like seeing a naked woman. They go out on New Year's Eve and it's like they're surrounded by naked Western women. And in their culture, if they see a woman that's not covered in a burqa, then she's asking for it. That's the way that they see it. They are not going to be prosecuted in their own culture for doing this sort of thing to what they perceive as naked women. And their defence will be, well, what man wouldn't do that? I forget which article it was, but I was talking about this just the other day in the Daily Nationalist, and it was a direct quote from a migrant rapist in the dock in court. And his very words were, well, what man wouldn't do that? So this is the way that the people from these, some of the people from these cultures think, the ones that carry out these sexual assaults, they think that they're just doing something that is completely normal. And you have to say, well, are they really to blame if they're used to thinking that that is completely normal? And I would say, well, they are to blame, but partially the blame also lies with the government, because the government knows that that's the way that they think in these cultures. And yet our governments across Europe still import these people into our countries and still make excuses for them, still bend over backwards for them, putting them up in hotels. Keir Starmer's new plan is to get them out of the hotels and put them into multiple occupancy homes, which means that there'll be no homes left for our youngsters to move into, for our own people to move into. It's, they shouldn't be here at all, let alone in hotels, and certainly not in multiple occupancy homes. And now they're talking about putting them in council houses. They're talking about buying up new houses and new builds and then putting the foreigners in them. And then eventually, after a certain amount of time, those homes will go onto the council's own register. And a number of councils in Britain have said that they would like to go for this. They would support this. So there's no signs of this slowing down anytime soon. And instead, our governments just try to cover this up. And if you complain about it, if you protest about it, then you're running the risk of being sent to prison for protesting about it. The remarkable comments come as the nation looks back 10 years on to an event that both darkened the lives of a huge number of young women and changed the course of political history, as it became a turning point in the debate about refugees. And that's what they're saying here. It became a turning point in the debate about refugees. I don't think it became a turning point at all. We were told that it was just the far right that were complaining about this. And it was a far right issue, and they tried to play it down. In fact, the German police said, oh, the night passed off without any trouble whatsoever, is what they were saying at first. And it was only nationalists that pushed this. And it was, in fact, it was Breitbart, as they say in this article, was the only news outlet to actually cover this. You think 1,000 women raped and sexually assaulted in one night, and the only outlet, news outlet, that actually covers this is a supposed far-right news outlet. The attacks, which were initially unreported in the German national media, was first brought to global attention by Breitbart News and saw women in practically every major German city set upon by gangs of migrant males. There were over 1,300 people targeted in the city of Cologne alone, primarily women. Of them, 600 women were sexually assaulted and 28 raped, while still many more were beaten and robbed. And that's just the ones that we know about. That's just the ones that actually bothered to report this, because they haven't found any of the perpetrators, or they found a relatively small number of the perpetrators have even been arrested over this. Yet it took place in every German city. Here we are 10 years further into the future. And not only is there still a risk on New Year's Eve, but in Germany, they can't even have their Christmas markets anymore because of the danger of Islamic terrorism, someone driving a car or another vehicle into the Christmas market. So they're having to close Christmas markets because they are prohibitively expensive now, because the local municipality has to pay for the extra security. If you look in France, they had to cancel their New Year's Eve musical display. They cancelled that because of the threat of terrorism occurring. So with all this mass immigration, you don't just get the threat of terrorism, you also get this threat of sexual assault. And we saw statistics in 2025. We have known these statistics for a long time as nationalists, because we look at these things in other countries. But in Britain, there was finally a study done, and it revealed that Afghans are over 20 times more likely to sexually assault women than white people are. 20 times more likely to do that. So they are 20 times more dangerous than white men are for white women. And yet our government still lets these people into our countries. It seems every day now that I read a report of sexual assault that's been carried out by an Afghan, and yet they still allow the Afghans into our countries. One 18-year-old woman was reported to have had an abortion after falling pregnant from being raped alongside another woman on the floor in the square between the Cologne Cathedral and the city's central railway station. So this literally happened on the floor in the street. And there were so many of these men of migrant background that the white Germans couldn't do anything about it. They were just overpowered by them, I should guess. I mean, why else wouldn't somebody have stopped it? Well, it's because it was all men of migrant background. If we look at our maternity wards now, white people are in the minority. So in 20 years' time, 25 years' time, if something isn't done about this, white men are going to be in the minority everywhere. And this sort of thing, if this sort of thing happens, there isn't going to be enough people to prevent it from happening. That's the way that our countries are going if they continue along this line of supporting immigration and not supporting remigration for the ones that are already here. Nationwide, over 1,200 women are reported to have been sexually assaulted in just one night. Although there were said to have been over 1,000 perpetrators, the vast majority were never traced, and a decade later just 39 convictions have been secured. Only two of those were for sexual assault, it is reported. So these migrant men, they can look at that and they can say, well, there's only a 0.01% chance of me ever getting caught if I do something like this anyway. So it's hardly a threat of swift justice that's going to put them off from doing this. Early eyewitness accounts, which were borne out much later by police investigations and arrests, stated the perpetrators were overwhelmingly men of North African origin, mainly of Moroccan and Algerian extraction. Compounding the scandal of the attacks were Angela Merkel's government's policies, which had brought the perpetrators to the country only months before, and the astonishing failure of the police to even realise what was happening at the time, and what was widely claimed to have been an attempted cover-up. So they tried to pretend that this didn't happen. Of course, exactly the same thing happened in Britain with the Islamic grooming gangs, and they tried to cover that up, and the reason for that is because they didn't want to give ammunition to the so-called far right. And it's the same thing here. They tried to cover it up because they don't want to give ammunition to the so-called far right. Well, if it's only the far right that are concerned when lots of young white women are being raped, then I think it's the so-called far right that the people are going to be more likely to support, aren't they? Our politicians should be against this. They should be speaking out against this. They shouldn't be covering it up. If our politicians did speak out about it, then it wouldn't be a far right issue, would it? It would just be a common sense issue, which is actually what it is. The fact that they refer to this fear of the far right using this as ammunition just shows that it's the far right that are in the centre. They're the ones that are on the right side of history. They're the ones that are concerned about what's going on and are trying to formulate ways to deal with the problems that we see coming up in the future. The Cologne Police Command Centre rejected the support of reserve officers held nearby and dismissed them home on the evening of the attacks, even as their own officers struggled to contain the chaos on the cathedral square. The following morning, the force published a cheerful press release stating that the night had passed off peacefully and without incident. So that's where you get these allegations of a cover-up occurring. I dare say if the police did see something like this going on, they would probably didn't know what to do. It's not something that you would normally see on the streets, is it? Is mass sexual assault and mass rape of women. They probably told themselves that their eyes were lying to them, and perhaps these girls were actually consenting, which is what they did with the grooming gangs. The police said, well, these were consenting children, apparently. These children were consenting to have sex with men that were much older than them, and they seem to have forgotten that. It's rape, it's statutory rape if a child is underage, regardless of whether they have consented or not. I mean, some of the reports about the grooming gangs, they were calling them child prostitutes and implying that it was these girls, it was their fault that this was happening to them, that they had been targeted. So we should never underestimate the ability of ourselves to deceive ourselves, to defraud ourselves. And if the police saw this going on, they probably just lied to themselves and said, oh, well, these women, they're probably consenting. They probably know these people and are friends with them. And of course they weren't. It was mass rape and sexual assault, and the police did nothing about it on that night. Broadcaster WDR notes, then Federal Interior Minister Thomas de Maizière acknowledged the attacks were a turning point in the debate about refugees in Germany and changed the course of German political history, setting migrant critical party the AfD up for greater successes and ushering support for stricter migrant policies in the years that followed. So perhaps that was the turning point, because AfD did rise up in popularity, and it was all after this opening of the borders by Angela Merkel that helped them to do that. But I'm not so sure about this being a turning point in the debate. I mean, this might have encouraged people to support the AfD, but the debate is still the same today. The left are still pretending that we're just making this up and that we're just stereotyping foreign people because we don't like the colour of their skin, regardless of all the statistics, regardless of all the headlines. Evidently, the narrative created on that night 10 years ago remains difficult for left-wing pro-migration politics and activists, and attempts to revise history continue. We saw them happening this summer when people were out protesting, or last summer rather, 2025 summer, when people were out protesting outside of these hotels that the government have put men of migrant background in, and they've sexually assaulted children and young girls outside the hotels in the towns, and the townsfolk have rightly got upset about this and gone out to protest against it. And we see left-wing protesters descend on the town, saying that this is all stereotypes and these men wouldn't do such a thing, and that refugees are welcome here in the town. So we have the same thing going on. It's like people refuse to believe their eyes. They refuse to believe their lying eyes. So let's have a look at some of these attempts to revise history, because they both actually come from Britain. The first one, Labour MP, gang sex attacks in Cologne, very similar to average weekend in Birmingham. Calls have been made for Labour MP Jess Phillips to step down. Don't forget, she's the Minister for Women, and yet she claimed that, exactly like I was just saying then, that these women were consenting. She said this was just like a night out in Birmingham. Calls have been made for Labour MP Jess Phillips to step down after she likened the mass sex attacks which took place in Cologne on New Year's Eve to an average weekend night in central Birmingham. In fact, police statistics show that Birmingham experienced the same number of attacks in 1 year as Cologne did in one night. So we have Jess Phillips there, who was going to be something to do with this grooming gang investigation. And yet we see here that she tries to cover this sort of thing up when it comes to rapes and sexual assaults by men of migrant background. The other one we have here is about a Green leader. Cologne migrant sex attacks dismissed as entirely debunked, a case of fake news, by British left Green leader. Prominent British Green politics campaigner and former Green Party leader, Natalie Bennett has refused to accept that anything significant had happened on New Year's Eve 2015 in Cologne, Germany, while speaking on British radio Tuesday morning. Engaged in a conversation on mass migration to Europe with LBC host Nick Ferrari, Barnett was promulgating the repeatedly debunked notion that the majority of the millions of young men who had come to the continent over the course of the migrant crisis were well educated. Challenging the claim, host Ferrari brought up the Cologne attacks, which Bennett dismissed as entirely debunked fake news. When Ferrari countered in some amazement that the situation in Cologne had been so serious, the police chief of Cologne had been forced out of his post over it, Bennett refused to back down, insisting it's fake news. There was no final account that anything significant had happened. So don't believe your lying eyes when you see this sort of thing going on, when you see these statistics. They just refuse to accept that it's the truth. Like, I mean, perhaps it's because it would mean that they would have to revise their views on migration, and they are very strongly held views. So they don't want to risk investigating these things, because it would mean if these things were true, they would have to fundamentally change their views and accept that in actual fact they were wrong about the views that they've held for quite some time. So I think that might play into it as well, because nobody likes to be proved wrong. It's just not a natural thing that we would do. But in cases like this, we should always have an open mind. We should always look at facts and statistics objectively rather than subjectively, and trying to will these things not to have happened, or say, well, it can't be true because it sounds so much like a stereotype. Well, stereotypes are there because they are largely true. That's why you have a stereotype, because generally these things turn out to be true. It's part of our way of protecting ourselves, that we make assessments of situations. And if this situation is something that has occurred before and it looks like it's going to happen again, then we avoid the situation. That's why we have these stereotypes. It's a pattern recognition as an essential part of being a human. As reported by German broadsheet Die Welt, Hamburg-based police researcher Raphael Beer, a former professor of police science at the Hamburg Police Academy, used the anniversary to put forward his particular theories. The paper states he told WDR5 Radio that the perpetrators having Arab or North African origins is not, from a criminological point of view, a criminogenic factor. So what he's saying there is the fact that they're from countries where they have cultures of making women cover up, that has nothing whatsoever to do with the fact that when these people came to a culture where women don't cover everything up, that it affected them in a way that they went out and carried out sexual assaults. Instead, he asserted, I would summarize it as a radically uprooted masculinity. So again, he thinks it's masculine for men to behave like this. It's not masculine at all. Men's instinct is to protect women, not to sexually assault them. Baer rejected the German police shorthand for North African repeat offender, NAFRI. I mean, even that they would say is a stereotype, saying that a North African would be a repeat offender. But the fact that they actually have this phrase, it means that it's a common problem, doesn't it? The same North African people carrying out the same crimes. Baer rejected the German police shorthand NAFRI as unhelpful and said instead the Cologne attacks should be seen in the light of masculinity as the motive and not nationality. So he's saying it's just the fact that they're men. As if there's no difference between a man who's been brought up in a country where the only women that he's ever seen apart from his wife and his sisters all wear burqas. There's no difference between that and a man who's brought up in a culture where women wear bikinis on the beach. Of course, there's a massive difference there. It's the culture that is different. The paper quoted him as saying that the migrants had endured existential fears and were then transferred to a society where they are not allowed to do anything, not even have the prospect of being allowed to stay here. Yes, they're not allowed to sexually assault the women. I don't know if that's what he's saying here. This terrible thing that happened to them. They're not allowed to sexually assault the women in Western countries. But again, that's one of the reasons why they shouldn't be here. The fact that they want to do these things that they're not allowed to do in Western countries, we shouldn't have them here. It's like saying you're going to import people into the country that want to break the laws in the country. Why would you do that? Why, if you have a country, say, where cannabis is illegal, why would you then import lots of people that smoke cannabis and are going to want to smoke cannabis in the country? You're not going to do that, are you? So why, if they have laws in this country that prohibit sexual assault, are you going to invite people into the country that are likely to carry out sexual assaults? On New Year's Eve, then, something was being compensated for that night, and this was released explosively, he said. The sudden rush of thousands of sex assaults and rapes taking place simultaneously across Germany was essentially spontaneous, he said he believed, and was not actually strategically planned, as has been widely reported. So let's have a look at the widely reported part that this was planned. Colonial Year's Eve sex attacks, migrant perpetrators planned in advance. A parliamentary investigation into the Colonial Year's Eve sex attacks, which saw over 1,000 criminal complaints made against predominantly newly arrived migrant males, has found the event was not spontaneous, but was arranged between the perpetrators. The Committee of Inquiry investigating the attacks on behalf of the Dusseldorf Parliament, the local legislature for the North Rhine-Westphalia region, of which Cologne is a constituent part, revealed their latest findings, revealing the role social media played in the attacks. So they were talking about doing this on social media, probably egging each other on with pictures that they had taken of innocent Western women just walking about. And I've seen videos of these men of migrant background that are using their smartphones to record school children and laughing about it and like looking as if there's nothing that they're doing wrong when somebody approaches them about it. They're obviously recording these things and then they send the images back home because the people back home in their country just wouldn't believe it that all these young girls are walking around naked in the West, which is essentially what they're doing because they're not wearing burqas. And in the countries where these men come from, the women are all covered up. The policing academic also said the criticism of the police that they failed to intervene on the night had deeply affected and shook the force, but emphasised that in the years that followed, the police investigated themselves, and this allowed them to discard many, many stereotypes and prejudices. Well, they should have been doing the opposite, really, shouldn't they? They should have been saying, well, hang on a minute, these stereotypes that we had all got proved true, didn't they? So what is the point of them investigating themselves and saying that they discarded many stereotypes and prejudices? How is that going to prevent this from happening again in the future? And clearly the police were there. And as it says here, they failed to intervene on that night. Same as the police failed to intervene with the Islamic grooming gangs that took place in Britain. Local Cologne newspaper Kölner Stadt Anzeiger reports the 10th anniversary of the sex assaults was being memorialised on Wednesday night by a vigil in the same square by the Women's Heroines group, which accuses police of being overwhelmed and that the importance of the attacks had been downplayed. Well, I think I can agree with that from these news articles that we've seen so far. The Heroines group said in a statement of their motivation, "The consequences of failed migration and integration policies have long disproportionately burdened women, with acts of violence in public spaces, parallel societies that isolate themselves through clothing and behaviour, sprawling concentrations of young men, and an openly displayed rejection of central values of the free democratic order, and thus of the hard-won women's rights in Europe. The Cologne New Year's Eve attacks 10 years ago were a warning sign of this trend at the expense of women and girls, and the far too late reaction of the city and authorities at the time was a worst practice example of failed analysis. The acts were not accidental and cannot be explained by alcohol, trauma or, quote, cultural misunderstandings. Here is a clear motive, contempt for Western civilization. Europeans are seen as weak, their legal system as exploitable, and their women as legitimate prey." And she's really summed it all up in that sentence there. The legal system is seen as exploitable because when the victims complain about this, they get sent to prison for hate speech. The women are seen as legitimate prey because they're literally walking around naked in the West. As I say, that's what they look like to Muslims that are used to seeing women covered up in burqas. And European men are weak. The police did nothing about this. They saw this happen. They did nothing about it. The same as the police in Britain did nothing about the grooming gangs. So this is the issue. I think she's done very well there, summing it up there in one sentence. The group made 11 demands of the government, including that the government should recognise it has a constitutional duty to protect the life and liberty of women and girls, and that this takes absolute precedence over all considerations related to migration, integration, residency, and perpetrators. And you really shouldn't have to say that. You really shouldn't have to make these demands that countries own citizens should take precedence over everything else. You know, the whole reason why we have a state, why we have a government, is to look after the rights of the people who form that government. In Britain, we have a British government, and the point of the government is to improve the situation for the British people. That should come first and foremost above helping anybody else outside of that group, because all the other people groups have their own representation, and they are the ones that are responsible for looking after them. So if our British government is not putting the rights of British people first, nobody else is going to do that, are they? And here in Germany, if the German government is not going to put the rights of German women first, certainly the Moroccans aren't going to think of doing that, are they? Violent and sex criminal migrants should have their citizenship stripped and be deported, they say. And big money NGOs that downplay, excuse or cover up violence should be defunded. And again, that's very good, because the NGOs do play a huge part in this. Going out to Calais, giving help and advice to the quote-unquote refugees over there so that they can break into Britain easily and claim benefits once they get here. It's a lot of these charities that should really be prosecuted under the people smuggling laws, because they are aiding and abetting the people smugglers. Failure to deliver means the rule of law loses its legitimacy, they warned. Well, I think that's already happened. A persistent question in the wake of Germany's 2015-16 New Year's Eve attacks remains whether it could happen again. At the time of the attack, the pattern of behaviour in the mass rapes and sexual assaults was compared to the Taharush phenomenon in the Arab world, a game where large gangs of men attack women for sport. And given the frequency with which this has been cited over similar attacks since, it seems clear that it has already continued to occur in Europe, if at a slower pace. And even Wikipedia is forced to have a page on Taharush, this phenomenon that was limited to the Middle East, but now takes place in Europe. It's effectively where there's just a mass sexual assault of any women there. And it only got picked up on in the West because it happened to these journalists. These Western journalists went over to Egypt for the Arab Spring, and then they were all sexually assaulted. And they should have been warned that was likely to happen, because our governments know what goes on in these countries. They're not naive. We have a very effective spy service in these countries. We also used to rule over a lot of these countries as the British Empire. So we know exactly what sort of people they are, what their sort of culture is. And yet we still allow them into our countries. Our governments do, that is. Taharush was cited on New Year's Eve 2024-25, for instance, that's last year, in the Italian city of Milan, when groups of North African men stalked women out partying for the holiday, with an eyewitness account stating, "We were trapped, helpless in the face of such violence. It was a waking nightmare. We were surrounded and we couldn't move. We held hands, or they touched us all over the clothes and under the clothes, despite our jackets and scarves, and it lasted 10 minutes, which is a very long time in this kind of situation." Eyewitness report there. As reported at the time, according to a report from the Italian newspaper Il Giornale, the prosecutor's office in Milan suspects that the alleged sexual assaults were a manifestation of the Islamic ritual known as Taharush Gamia, or the collective sexual harassment in crowds. The paper said the attacks generally target insolent women guilty of showing up in public. So again, that's the equivalent of women being in public and not wearing burqas, insolent women showing up in public. That's the way that this is seen in those cultures. The first widely documented Taharush Gamia, and I guess the Gamia bit is because they see it as a game, incident occurred in Egypt in 2005, when the government allegedly hired gangs of men to assault female protesters and journalists sexually. Well, that was probably the allegation, but I doubt whether they actually had to hire these men to do this. They will just do this naturally as part of their culture. I mean, part of it could be to encourage women to wear burqas. Don't forget that they want everybody to become a Muslim, and part of this is to encourage women in the West to wear burqas. I've seen mullahs talking about this. Even when the Muslims took Christian slaves, they would take a tax from them. But if they were to become Muslims, then they wouldn't have to pay that tax and they wouldn't get mistreated. So I think that plays into this as well, is to encourage people in the West to become Muslims, basically. And then that won't happen to them. They won't get sexually assaulted because they'll be wearing a burqa. Amnesty International reported in 2015 that since 2012, mob sexual assaults, including rape, have become a regular feature of protests in the vicinity of Tahrir Square in Cairo. And this Tahrir might actually come from the name Tahrir Square. And you imagine that. It's become a regular feature of protests. You think about the protests that we have in Britain. Is getting raped one of the things that might happen if you go to a protest? Well, it's not. But if you're a woman and you go to a protest in an Islamic country, then there is a chance that that will happen to you, especially if the men there can see parts of your flesh, which is what they try to cover up with a burqa. Just seeing an ankle can be too much for these men sometimes. You imagine what it's like for them when they see white women going out on New Year's Eve in all their scanty clothing. And they're just going to think, well, what judge is going to prosecute me for grabbing hold of this? Because that's the way they think in their culture. I'm not saying this to insult them. As I say, I can provide a reference for them actually saying these things in court. The practice has since spread into Europe, most notably in the 2016 New Year's Eve cologne attacks brought to international attention by Breitbart London. Gang sex attacks have also occurred in Italy, including in Milan on New Year's Eve 2022. In the very same Piazza del Duomo, where 9 young women fell victim to similar sexual assaults, leading prosecutors to believe that the recent attacks may have been a copycat of the incidents 2 years prior. And do I really have to point out that none of these sexual assaults could have ever taken place if it wasn't for our government's immigration policy? That's the thing that is at fault here, is the government's immigration policy for bringing people in that do not understand our culture because they've been brought up in a completely different one. And they make these mistakes, basically, because that's what they are. I'm sure some of them regret it when they get sent to prison for it. They regret doing this, and they probably hate being in the West because this is what's happened to them. And they probably see themselves as victims because they're just acting in a way that is normalized within their own culture. And who's to say it's wrong that women should cover up? The way that Islam looks at these things, they say, well, if a woman is not covered up, then there's a chance she may sexually arouse the man, and then the man may have difficulty controlling himself, and the woman may be sexually assaulted. So the best way to deal with that is to prevent the man from becoming aroused in the first place and cover the woman up. That's the way they look at it. Over here in the West, we say, well, the man may become sexually aroused at the woman, but he has to learn some self-control and not sexually assault the woman. So it's two different ways of looking at it. And clearly, the best way should be measured by which country has the least rapes and the least sexual assaults, really. But that's a very unpolitically correct thing to say. Anyway, I'm glad we didn't hear of something like this happening again on this recent New Year's Eve, but there is always a chance that it will happen again. And it seems to be that something like this is happening every day on the streets of Britain. And every day it's linked to these migrant hotels and the unaccompanied males from North Africa and the Middle East that our government insists on putting up in these hotels. And as I say, it was probably the most complained about upsetting thing of 2025 in the PWR episode that I did this week, the distressing nature of these reports of this happening to our women, and the fact that it could all so easily have been prevented if our governments didn't have such a harmful immigration policy. Well, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.